Today we look at the word sacrifice. It's an important part of the Christian life. And you don't get far into the Bible until you start seeing that word. Sacrifice, offerings. I'd like to ask you to turn for this first scripture reading, Leviticus chapter 22. God gave sacrifices, especially in the Old Testament. The very first one was right outside the Garden of Eden. And then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, others had sacrifices. God ordained it through the law of Moses. Just think of how many tens of thousands of sacrifices were done during the time of the sacrificial period in the temple, in the tabernacle. Perhaps even millions of animals were sacrificed. Wide variety. Usually animals, but not just animals. Sometimes there'd be grain offerings, drink offerings. Salt would be mixed in there, sometimes oil. And then the most important one in the sacrificial system was once a year the high priest would go into that special room, the Holy of Holies. He alone could go there, and only once a year. And he'd make the great sacrifice for the people of Israel. An atonement by blood. Now, these sacrifices were all fulfilled and abolished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Hebrews says none of those sacrifices could take away sins. They were symbols of the great atonement, the great sacrifice that did take away sins. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:2 says, Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Christ was consumed by the wrath of God, just like some of those offerings were to be completely burnt up. He shed his blood because the sacrifices were also to have blood on the altar. Christ is our substitute. He was our substitutionary sacrifice, and he made atonement. Sacrifices in the Old Testament were to be done on an altar. Christ died upon the altar of the cross, and he said, it is finished. In the Old Testament, it was a priest that brought the sacrificial animal. Book of Hebrews tells us Christ was the priest and the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. Hebrews 9:26 says he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And therefore, all those sacrifices were abolished. But as we will see this morning, including the book of Hebrews, some of those sacrifices continue in a different way today. I guess you'd say in a spiritual way, not a literal way. Now, let's set the record straight. Whatever sacrifices we make, they are not to make atonement. Christ is the only atonement. What sacrifices we do, or spiritual sacrifices, not for atonement. We don't do something or sacrifice something to make up for something bad that we've done. It doesn't work like that. It's not self-atonement. It's not what some call asceticism. What's that? Well, occasionally you hear about some monk or some hermit that has forsaken everything, and he says, that's my big sacrifice. And so he lives out in the desert somewhere, and he doesn't eat regular food. He only eats bread and water, and he wears a hair shirt, and he's given up all the comforts of life. But you look at that system, that's self-atonement. He says, I have sacrificed everything, and God accepts this as atonement. He's wrong. Other people think that, well, there is a sacrifice that we give, and it's a sacrifice that provides atonement, and they say that's what happens at the Lord's Supper. No, I mentioned that in a previous message. Roman Catholic idea says that the Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice, but they're wrong. Book of Hebrews says Christ died once and for all. So the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice. Instead, the Lord's Supper is a memorial of the great sacrifice. We do this in remembrance of his sacrifice for us. So whatever we sacrifice, friends, can never, ever atone for sin. Some people think, well, good works. Let me introduce you to an idea that's very popular in Judaism today. You see, they will say, we honor the law of Moses, to which you ask them, where's your sacrifices? Where's your temple? It was torn down. You can't have sacrifice without a temple. And according to the law of Moses, there can't be atonement without sacrifice. And they said, you're right, but the Almighty, blessed be He, has provided a substitute atonement for us. And you say, oh, that's Christ. No, no, no. They don't believe that. They say ever since the temple was torn down, God accepts something else as sacrifice. Good works. That is actually taught in the Talmud and in most synagogues today. They say God accepts our good deeds as sacrifice until perhaps one day the temple will be rebuilt. But they're wrong. It wasn't like that in the Old Testament. It's not like that in the New Testament. Good works by a Jew, by a Catholic, by a Protestant can never serve as sacrifice for atonement for sins. And yet, the Bible does speak of another great sacrifice coming one day. Not one by way of atonement for sin, but it's a sacrifice of those that do not accept the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're told in several places, Isaiah 34, Ezekiel 39, Zephaniah 1, and Revelation 19, that at the second coming, there will be a great slaughter sacrifice of unbelievers that die in their sins, but that sacrifice will not be an atonement, but it will be punishment. Therefore, those that are still in their sins now, we encourage them, come and believe in Jesus. He is the great sacrifice. But if you reject that sacrifice, you will have to pay. But that will be an eternal punishment. It will never be accepted as atonement. Come and believe in Jesus as a sacrifice and be saved. Now, there are several biblical principles of sacrifice that do continue in the Christian life, and that's the theme of this morning's message. Now, the first one is right here in Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 29. In the midst of all these sacrifices God is ordaining, he says this, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. I alluded to this a week or two ago. Let's explain it. This wasn't an atonement for sin. Rather, this is a thank offering because God has blessed you. So the Jews, perhaps if they've had good crops or good health or lots of children or some other blessing, they say, how can we ever thank God for this? So they go to the priest and they say, what can we do to show our gratitude? And the priest says, God has ordained a special thanksgiving offering. And it wouldn't be some animal for atonement, but a thanksgiving offering, a sacrifice. And notice it says it's by free will. And that means it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. Now, the principle for this carries over to us. God has blessed us at times, maybe with great health or a new job or something else, some great blessing, and you're filled with joy and you say, Lord, how can I ever thank you? Think of something that you can do by way of sacrifice as an offering to God to show your gratitude for some great blessing. And again, it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. Psalm 107, verse 22 says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. So there's the first of them. Now, I'm going to mention several other sacrifices that Christians can give unto God. But let's set the record straight again at the beginning. When we sacrifice, we're sacrificing good things, not sinful things. We should give up sinful things. That stands to reason. I'm not talking about that. We should repent and forsake them anyway. Someone said that we should actually consign them to destruction as a burnt offering and a burnt sacrifice. Some people get saved and they say, Lord, I'm giving up certain things. So they will burn their pornography. They will throw away their drugs. They'll empty their liquor bottles. That's a physical way. I guess you could say that's a drink offering. You pour it out rather than pour it out unto the Lord. In a way, you could say those are sacrifices, but not really. One of the great hymns we sing contains these words: "All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." Now let's also tie in sin to the question of the sacrifices that we offer to God. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices had to be without blemish, and our sacrifices to God have to be without sin, that is, without sinful motives. Old Testament sacrifices could not be offered with leaven, and often leaven is a type of sin. So we are to offer sacrifices to God as an act of worship with pure motives, not with impure motives. We should repent and say, "Lord, I give this to you with pure motives." And this tells us that only Christians can offer these kinds of sacrifices. Non-Christians do not have pure motives. Christians should do it with a pure, honest motive, not greedily, not selfishly. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The sacrifices of the wicked are abomination to the Lord." So we are to offer things to God, but what kind of sacrifices can a Christian give? Well, the Bible lists a number of them. So we're talking about giving up things that are good in themselves, not giving up bad things. That stands to reason already. But God says there are certain things that we can sacrifice to him that of themselves are good things. What kind of things? 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Well, for the second one, let me ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And this is one that is mentioned at least three times in the Bible. And this is a sacrifice that does continue. It's interesting. This is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, which has gone into great detail saying Jesus is the great sacrifice. We don't need animal sacrifices. Those are abolished. And at the end of the book, he mentions a different kind of sacrifice that we can offer. Look at chapter 13, verse 15. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Jeremiah 33:11 mentions the sacrifice of praise. This is part of our spiritual worship. When we come to worship, we are like the Old Testament saints. They came to worship with a sacrifice in their hands, and they lifted up to God, such as a calf. Interesting. This verse here where it says the fruit of our lips, it's literally the calves of our lips. So we don't come with an animal. We come with something, as it were, in our mouth to say, "Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to sing unto you." That's an acceptable, worshipful sacrifice to God. Sacrifice is worship. Psalm 141:2 says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." You see, back in the temple, they'd also burn incense. We don't have to burn incense anymore. Oh, yeah, I know some churches do that, but it's totally unnecessary. But here we're told in Psalm 141, our praise and our prayer and the lifting up of our hands is like the evening sacrifice. By the way, it's interesting. It says they're the lifting up of our hands. Now, some churches, they actually do that. I don't mind if you do it. It's actually biblical. And from time to time, people in our church have lifted up a hand or two during a time of prayer or when you're singing. There's nothing wrong with it if you do it in the proper way unto the Lord. It's absolutely biblical. It could be an act of worship, kind of like saying, "I'm lifting this up like sacrifice of praise unto you." And it says, "Let this be like the evening sacrifice." In the Bible days, they'd have a sacrifice in the morning, and they'd have an evening sacrifice. Sometimes at our Sunday evening meeting or at our Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'll say, "Lord, we now come to you with our prayers as the evening sacrifice." So your prayers, especially your praise, is a form of sacrifice. Psalm 27:6 says these are sacrifices of joy. Just like God loves a cheerful giver, we should offer this sacrifice of worship joyfully and thankfully. Well, there are other kinds of sacrifices we can give. Here's another one. Philippians 4:18 says that the financial gifts that the Philippians had given to Paul were, quote, a sweet-smelling aroma and acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So when we give to God financially, such as in the offering plate, that is a sacrifice of thanks and worship to God. But it's not just to the church. When we support charities, when we give that out of a pure motive unto the glory of God, that is a sacrifice, and it's well-pleasing to God. When we give to the poor, when we give to missionaries. But brethren, it's not so much the amount that matters. It's the attitude that matters. God says, thank you for the gift, but he looks at the heart, he looks at the attitude, and that is what counts the most. We see an example of this in Mark 12 when Jesus was in the temple, and that was where the people were giving all these great sacrifices. And I'm sure one of the apostles said, look at these wonderful sacrifices. And sometimes a wealthy person would come in maybe with a bag of gold. And the apostles had said, look at that. How generous. What a sacrifice. It didn't please the Lord Jesus. But what did please him was while he was teaching, he looked off on the side where they had the offering box. And a little widow walked up there that was dirt poor. And she opened up her purse and she put in two little coins. Nobody saw it but Jesus. And she walked away. And Jesus looked at that and said, that woman gave more than everybody else, more than the priests and more than the wealthy people. And perhaps one of the apostles, probably Judas, the man that had the money bag that was greedy, said, how much did she give? Just two coins. And he would have said, two coins, what's that? And Jesus said, it was all she had. And those two coins were a greater sacrifice than everything else in the temple. You take my point? It's not so much the amount. It's the attitude. And one other person said, it's not how much you give that matters. It's how much you had left over that you could have given. So financial gifts unto the Lord can also be a sacrifice. Now that leads us to the next principle. Whatever we give unto the Lord must be a sacrifice that costs us something. God doesn't want our leftover garbage. He wants something that is valuable to us, whatever it is. David said this in 2 Samuel 24:24. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. Some people want to give something to God that if God didn't accept it, they'll throw it in the trash. God doesn't want your trash. He wants your treasure, whatever it is. Now then there's King Solomon, who was David's son, who became the richest man in the world at that time. And in 1 Kings 8:63, when he dedicated the temple, now listen to what he gave. He sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Boy, there's a lot of wool and mutton there. 120,000. He gave it all to the Lord. David said, I'm not going to offer that which costs me nothing. And God may call upon us to give him something that is very valuable. And not just in financial terms, by the way. It might be something that doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but it means a lot to you. God may call upon you to give that to him or to someone else unto the Lord. You see, ultimately our sacrifices are given to God. Brethren, I don't think we realize just how important the matter of sacrifice is to the Christian life. We're in the middle of a series on spirituality, and you say, what has this got to do with spiritual life? It's got everything to do with the spiritual life. There are many principles of discipleship involved in living the Christian life, and sacrifice is one of them. Several times in the Bible, we're given the metaphor of that we're Christian athletes, as it were. And that just doesn't mean we play basketball unto the Lord and we win and we can give him thanks. Or, you know, you see these people in the bowl games. Maybe you've been watching some of them. Some Christian athletes, he scores a touchdown and he kneels down and he says, I want to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this. The Bible says all of us are to run the race. We're to fight the good fight. We're to be athletes, as it were, in the spiritual realm. But the Bible says we are to be like athletes in the natural realm who sacrifice a lot to be a good athlete. Earlier this year, we watched the Olympics on television. You interview any one of those Olympians, you'll find out they sacrificed a whole lot. Some of those young men were interviewed, and they said, "What did you give up?" He said, "What did I give up? I gave up all my favorite foods to go on a strict diet. I gave up hours and hours every day. I could have been going to the discos and dancing. I could have been partying. I was working out. I was pumping iron. I was sweating. My friends were having fun. I was working, I sweated, I exercised, I did everything just to come here to the Olympics." They sacrificed. We are to be like that, to sacrifice in order to run the race set before us. Well, then there's the metaphor of musicians. Now, not all of us are talented musically, some of us are. But to become a master musician doesn't come overnight. You interview those people that are the best musicians in the world, the great opera singers, those that are, play great concertos in the symphony orchestra. Ask every single one of them. They will say for years they discipline themselves. They practice, and they practice more. They memorize scales. They would do it in their sleep. The first thing that they do getting out of bed is go and grab the musical instrument. Hour after hour after hour of practice, they would say they would practice so their hands would fall off of fatigue. But was it worth it? Yes. A master musician has to sacrifice. You see what I'm getting at? If we're going to run the race, if we're going to play spiritual music before the Lord, it takes sacrifice. We have to give up certain things in the Christian life. And some of the noblest examples of this are the missionaries. You know, I respect missionaries. They usually give up a lot of comforts of American life and usually go and live in third world countries, often where there's not clean water, electricity, and all the things we just take for granted. They sacrifice a whole lot to serve the Lord. Let me give you just a few examples. I know a man, and so do you, that he has 4 college degrees. 2 of them are PhDs. One of them is from Oxford University, and the other one is from Cambridge University. You know who I'm talking about. A brother from the Middle East. And after he got all those degrees with honors, top universities vied to get him to teach at their universities. And I know of at least 5 of them that eagerly wanted him to teach. They'd say, "We'll pay you large amounts. We'll give you tenure. We'll give you all these other things." And he turned them all down. One of them was an Ivy League university. And he turned those all down out of sacrifice. Right now, this very day, he's over in Greece spending 12 to 15 hours every day at his expense to sacrifice to teach these refugees the Bible. And he lives on a very frugal budget when he's back in this country. That sacrifice. And then we also know the couple that they wanted to serve the Lord, and they were facing retirement, and they had a pension, and their plan was to retire out to the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And they said, "We're going to spend our days golfing and going to the mall and just enjoying ourselves because the world says you've got it coming." And they said no. They decided to sacrifice instead. And instead of a big house they were going to build, they live in a little RV down in Florida. And instead of looking at the Rocky Mountains, they're not far from the swamps. They are full-time volunteers at their expense with Wycliffe Bible Translators. You know who they are. That sacrifice. You see, when people do this and they learn to sacrifice, they learn a golden lesson that the rest of us don't know. There's such a thing as a sacrifice without a sacrifice. What do I mean? The people that have given the most realize they've given very little. And the more they give, the more they want to give. And they say, "I've never really given anything." Let me read you an example. One of the great missionaries of all time was the great David Livingstone from Scotland. You've all heard of him. He left Scotland, was a missionary for many, many years down to Africa. Gave up a lot. And he suffered there and he eventually died in Africa. But listen to what he said toward the end of his life. He said, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward of healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word, such a view, and such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. And anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink, but let this only be for a moment. All these things are nothing when compared with the glory which shall be hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Yes, we're called upon to sacrifice, but when we see it in the light of Christ's sacrifice, we say, what can I ever give that could ever be compared with what he has given to us? It is a sacrifice without a sacrifice. But so many people have given up so much. Then there is a young man over in England early in the 20th century who became a doctor. And he had everything laid out before him, graduated with honors, and he was setting up his practice on Harley Street. Now, let me tell you, Harley Street in London is where the best doctors in England practice. He would get to see the Queen, the Dukes, the Earls, the Viscounts. He had it made. But this young doctor was a Christian, and God called him away from that to a tiny village in the hills of Wales, to an obscure little church. And he became a pastor there the rest of his life and then was called back to London to pastor. This was a doctor named Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, who gave up a medical practice for another calling. And people couldn't understand it. Do you understand how these people have given up so much? What have we given up to sacrifice to show Christ our love and our gratitude? Now turn back a couple of pages in Hebrew for another kind of sacrifice. Hebrews 11 tells us about all these people that were examples of faith, and one of them was Abraham. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, the story is told back in the Old Testament. Let me just recap it. God had promised that Abraham and Sarah in their elderly years would be given a son. And they waited and they waited and they prayed. They wept and finally they had that son, the one and only son, Isaac. And they were so grateful. They loved him. They said, oh, we waited. We prayed. You know, there are couples that wait and they wait and they wait. And when they get the one they've waited for so long, it means all the more to them. So now this was their greatly beloved son. And then God put Abraham to the test. He said, you believe in me, Abraham? Okay, here's what you do, Abraham. Take your son, your only son, that you love. Take him up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. What? Yes, take him up there, bind him on the wood, take out a knife and kill him as a sacrifice to me. You say you believe me and you'll obey me. Will you? Will you give up the most valuable thing in your life? Abraham? I wonder if Abraham slept much that night. But the next morning, he did what God told him. He took Abraham, led him out on a donkey to the top of the mountain, put the wood down. You know the story. He bound him up there. And he actually had the knife in his hand in the air coming down. And God stopped him at the last minute and said, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you really do believe me. You have not withheld your only son. He was willing to sacrifice his only son. He passed the test. I'm convinced with that episode and other biblical principles that sooner or later in the life of every Christian, God's going to put them to the test, a hard test, this kind of test, where he'll say to that Christian, you say you believe in me and you'll obey me, prove it. And he'll put his finger on the most important, valuable thing in your life and say, you give this up for me. Now, we're not talking about giving up sinful things. We're talking about good things, even precious things like a son or a spouse. And God says, give that to me. Some of you have already gone through such a test where God says, you give that to me. Some of you will face that one day. Whatever your Isaac will be. You say, well, give me an example. I'm not going to give you examples. It could be anything. Whatever is most valuable to you, God might say, give that to me. Are you willing to give it to God? Now, in this instance, he gave it to God and God gave it back to him. Look back at Hebrews. It says he offered it up to him and he concluded that God was going to raise him up from the dead. And so he did get it back. He received him back in a figurative sense. God gave it back to him. And here's the test of faith. When we give it to God, we say, Lord, it is your choice whether to give it back to me or not. Sometimes he does give it back. Sometimes he doesn't. That's the test of faith when you say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you and you may give it back to me. And he may not. You see, you don't give it with strings attached. You say, Lord, this is yours. And he may give it back. He may not. Parents, give your children unto the Lord. He gave Isaac to the Lord. This is what's involved when parents dedicate their children. It's not a matter of whether you baptize them or just lay hands upon them. Are you giving those children to the Lord? Saying, Lord, this little child, this little bundle of love, this is your child. You gave it to me. We are giving this to you. And you know, some parents have never really given their children to the Lord. Oh, they may have said a little prayer and said, well, we thank you for this child. But have you really given that child to the Lord? Let me give you an illustration. I remember sitting with a mother that was talking to her couple that were going through a really rough time with their teenage boy. And that boy was very wild and caused grief to the parents' eyes. And this was a couple that were Christians. And so I let this godly mother explain to them. And she knew the lesson. She said, you dedicated that child when he was a baby. Yes, you need to give that child to the Lord. And the mother said, that came the time in my life when my son was very rebellious and very wild, wasn't saved. But I, with tears, gave my son to the Lord and said, Lord, take him. If that means you kill him, whether you save him or not, he is your child. And then God began to do something in that child's life. And that couple was listening very closely. And the mother said, give your son to the Lord. That mother was my mother. She was talking about me. Have you parents given your children to the Lord, respective of age? Give it to the Lord and say, Lord, he's yours. She's yours. She belongs to you to do whatever you want to with. But also part of dedicating them to the Lord, parents, you are to teach them the Word of God and show them the meaning of sacrifice in your life. You are their best teachers, not just by what you say, but by what you do. Now, let me add a couple of precautions before we move on to some other sacrifices. Number one, don't be hasty. Some people will hear this message and they kind of run out and they're too eager to sacrifice. They need to mix in some good biblical wisdom in that. We find an example of that in a bad way in the book of Judges. Jephthah, he made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord would give him victory in war, he would sacrifice the first thing that came out when he came home. And he came home and it was daughter that came out. He thought it'd be a chicken or maybe an animal. So don't be presumptuous. Be wise and don't be hasty. Make sure that whatever you sacrifice to the Lord is what the Lord has chosen for you to sacrifice. Look for him to put his finger on it, whatever it is. And don't show off with this. Sacrifices should usually be private, just between you and God. Because some people will sacrifice, they're no different than the Pharisee in the temple, showing off their sacrifices and they lose their reward. don't show off, and don't do it to gain merit or to counterbalance some great sin you've done. These are just a few of the precautions. Now, I've just mentioned several examples in the Bible and outside the Bible. Let me ask you the very personal question. When you go home this afternoon and you think about this morning's message, ask yourself this question. What have I specifically and deliberately sacrificed to the Lord? Get out a piece of paper and maybe write it down. Can you give a specific example of something very valuable that you have given unto the Lord as a sacrifice? Let's move on. Leviticus 7 and 22 also mention another kind of sacrificial offering. Again, not for sin, but these are called votive offerings. What's that? These are sacrifices that are part of a vow. We find an example of that with a woman in the book of Judges that couldn't have children, and she vowed to the Lord, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him unto you." And God gave her a child. The little boy was named Shemuel. We'd pronounce it Samuel. And Hannah kept her vow. Now, the principle there is that we can, you know, the thanksgiving sacrifices after God has given us something. This is kind of in reverse, where we say, "Lord, if you give me something, I will give this to you." And God says, "Well, you give it to me first, and then God may later give it to you." So give God something as a test of faith. And by the way, this is not in order to get health and wealth and that sort of thing. That's a misuse of it. Now, we give, and the Lord might give back. He might not give back in this life. But if we truly sacrifice to the Lord, He will give back in the next life. Here's the example. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles said, "Lord, we have forsaken everything to follow you. We have given up wives. Peter said, I've given up my fishing business. I've given up homes. Are we going to get anything out of this?" And Jesus said, "Yes, you'll get much in the next life." So you see, God does repay those that sacrifice properly, but you don't give in order to get. You give sacrificially as an act of worship. Now here's another one. Turn back to Hebrews 13. We read verse 15. Look at verse 16 for another sacrifice. Verse 16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." What sacrifices? Doing good, serving the Lord, using your spiritual gift, using your natural talents, not for selfish purposes, but for sacrificial purposes to do good to others. I'll give you an example of this. At our church back in Texas, we had a man. I used to call him Captain because he used to be in the Navy, but he was a dentist. And I used to kid him. I said, "What do you do on your vacations? You go away for 3 or 4 weeks, and where do you go?" He says, "Well, I guess you need to know that, Kurt." And I said, "What do you do?" He says, "I use my dental skills, and I go to the third world with missionaries, and for 3 or 4 weeks, I give them free dental care." And I said, "You mean you bring a nurse, you bring all?" He says, No, "We usually go where they don't have much clean water. They don't have electricity. And I can't do root canals or anything fancy." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Basically, I just pull teeth for 3 or 4 weeks. But boy, are they glad to have that." And I squirt a little juice in there so it'll heal properly. And I said, "How many you do in 3 or 4 weeks? He said, "Oh, 3 or 4,000. And I said, "How long have you been doing this?" He says, "I could fill a trunk with the teeth I have pulled." That man could be spending those 3 or 4 weeks on the beaches of Hawaii. He could be going to New York and looking at Broadway shows. He could be entertained, but he spends it sacrificially. He says, "Kurt, I'm not a preacher. I can't even teach a Bible study." And it kind of hung his head. He says, "This is my gift to the Lord." What sacrifice? What can we do? You might say, "Well, I can't be a missionary like you've mentioned. I can't even be a dentist." But there's something we all have. We can sacrifice time. We can go spend time, for example, with elderly in nursing homes or in their own homes. You might want to spend an afternoon babysitting for a family with a bunch of kids so that the mother and dad can go and spend time by themselves. If you ask the Lord how you can sacrifice time, the Lord will show you opportunities. Visit. Help. Philippians 2:17, Paul said, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you." So service unto the Lord can also be sacrifice. Now we've come to three more. Here's one that would surprise you. You might say, "I can't do any of these things." And you're disappointed and you say, I haven't served the Lord. I haven't sacrificed anything. Here's another sacrifice that will surprise you that the Lord is pleased with. Tears. A broken heart. This is what David said in Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And David wrote that when he was repenting for his sin with Bathsheba. And he came before God. And even before he went to the temple to offer a sacrifice for atonement, he went to God. Probably he went, got alone in his bedroom and fell down on his knees and poured out his heart, saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry for what I did." And every tear said, "I am sorry." Remorse for sin and repentance is a sacrifice. And notice it says, the Lord will not despise them. So when the Lord sees tears of repentance, that is a sacrifice that is well pleasing to the Lord. But there are other kinds of tearful sacrifices. When you are being persecuted unto the Lord, for the Lord, and it hurts, give that pain to the Lord. You see, that's a sacrifice. You say, "I could have fled persecution. I could have kept my mouth shut." But when you take a stand for the Lord Jesus and pay the consequences, that is a sacrifice that is well pleasing to the Lord. Mark 9:49 says, "Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." And that includes the salt in our tears. We find the example of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 5:7 says, "Christ offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears." And there are a variety of tears. You see, sometimes we're hurting, we're lonely, we're bruised, something in our life, and we're absolutely broken before the Lord. And you say, "Lord, I have nothing to give you but my tears." And the Lord smiles upon that. Because our tears to the Lord were precious to Him. Has that ever occurred to you? Whatever tears you go through of grief, mourning, repentance, give Him your tears. Have you learned the secret of giving Him your pain and your tears as a sacrifice to the Lord? Here's another one. We read in Romans 12:1, this one that would surprise you. Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." God wants our bodies. He doesn't want so much our money. He wants our souls, our minds. But He says, "I want your body too." And boy, that's something precious to us too. You say, "Oh, I've only got one of them, Lord." He says, "Yes, and that's the one that I want." He wants your body. So don't misuse it on sinful things. It belongs to Him. Just like when you give your child to the Lord, He says, "Now you give yourself to me as well." And He wants it as a living sacrifice. Maybe you've heard the old saying, living sacrifices kind of want to crawl off the altar. You put that animal up there. In the Old Testament, they'd put the animal on the altar, and it says they were to tie its feet to the corner of the altar so they wouldn't crawl off. Brethren, we want to crawl off. We say, "Lord, this is my body. I give it to you." And then the next day, we want to go and do something for ourselves. That's why Paul says offering it as a living sacrifice. And that leads us to the last sacrifice we give when it comes for us to die. Our deathbed, as it were, becomes that altar where we say, "Lord, the time has come. I give you my living sacrifice in death." Paul knew this when he was approaching death. 2 Timothy 4:6, he said, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." And when that time comes for us, we should say, "Lord, this is my sacrifice. I give you everything. My body, my soul, my everything." And there's another way that we do that. When a loved one comes to die, We should say, Lord, I give you my spouse, my parent, my child. Thank you, Lord, that you gave them to me all these years. Now, Lord, I give them to you. Now, we've talked about the sacrifices that we can give to the Lord. And some of these are pretty drastic. And you might say, why would anyone want to offer any of those sacrifices to God? The secret is this. These are to be a love offering to the Lord. A sacrifice of love. Why does a mother sacrifice herself for her child? Out of love. Why would a father and a husband do this? Because we're told in the Bible, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So a husband will sacrifice, and he'll give up things for his wife and children out of love. In following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the key. When we see that Christ sacrificed himself for us, we will willingly and lovingly sacrifice anything for him. One last example of this. Early in the 20th century, there was a man in England named C.T. Studd. You may want to read his story sometime. He was wealthy. He was educated at the best prep school called Eton. Then he went off to Cambridge University with honors. He was wealthy. He was also very talented, so he became a first-class cricketer. He was a player at cricket, won all sorts of honors. But C.T. Studd was a Christian. And God said, Studd, yes, give all of that up for me. And he did. He gave up his wealth. He gave up his honors. He gave up his degrees. He gave up his career. His professional athletic career. That would be like an NBA star, a baseball all-star, a football Super Bowl winner, who had all the glory and the fame and the money. And C.T. Studd walked away from it all and says, I sacrificed that to the Lord. And he went over to China as a missionary. And then from there he served in India and then to Africa. And serving the Lord there in those countries without medicine, his health began to fail. And that eventually took his life. And at the end of his life, he smiled and said, I gave up nothing for the Lord. This was simply giving to him as an exercise of love and gratitude. And listen to his famous words. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. He learned the secret of loving sacrifice. Someone else wrote this. Sacrifice is the ecstasy of giving the best we have to the one we love the most. And in the shadow of the cross, we see the true value of sacrifice. One of the great hymns concludes with these words. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's sacrifice. Let us pray. Lord, if we gave 1,000 universes, that could never equal the sacrifice that you gave when you sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. He gave his all for us. Help us to give our all to you, for him. In his holy name we pray. Amen.